World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for pass the salt.
Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Maybe top five in my whole life. Maybe. I'm telling you, maybe top five in my whole life. You said top five what? Night's sleep. It was one of those nights I laid my head on a pillow, and the next thing I knew, my alarm went off. Now, my alarm never goes off because, you know, I get up at 5:30, but I'm always awake at 5, and then I lay there a while, yada, yada. Last night, my alarm went off this morning. Well, ain't nothing like a good night's sleep, is it? Good night's sleep. Thanks for being out there. I'm going to go a different direction today. Not a different direction. Not so much biblical stuff, but truth. Truth is really, really important to us, and we're going to jump into that the best that we can here. So bear with me. Want to acknowledge, you know, Gary. I forgot to mention Gary Pierce yesterday. Gary's getting better. He had reconstructive surgery, whatever they call that, hip replacement, yada yada yada. He's up. He's able to walk around. I don't know if he's full speed. I don't know about that, but doing better than what he expected to do. So continue to pray for Gary that he'll get a speedy recovery because need that guy up and about. A lot of stuff going on, right? A lot of sick people, a lot of crazy stuff. But the Bible tells us to thank God. That's Romans chapter 5, by the way. Pull it up there, Spencer. Romans chapter 5, so they don't think I'm lying about it. And Bible says, in this world, you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But not only so, we glory in tribulations. When's the last time you gloried in a tribulation? Huh? Knowing that tribulation leads to patience, and patience gives you experience. So the next time, say, oh, I remember that happened last time. And because you've had that experience, you have hope. So we've been here before, boys and girls. And hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely will a righteous man will die, yet peradventure, for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's pretty profound, isn't it? Huh? But not much, much more than, now that we've been justified means the books are balanced. The wages of sin is death. Christ died. The books are balanced now. Now that the books are balanced, right? I lost myself. Now that the books are balanced, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That's why the Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Because why? He saved you through wrath, the blood of Jesus. For if, when we were enemies, were you ever an enemy of God? I was. Didn't know I was. Nobody told me I was. But apart from Christ, we're enemies of God. We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. In other words, we had a peace party. We smoked a peace pipe. When he offered his son, and we smoked a peace pipe. We call it communion, but we smoked a peace pipe. And much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Atone. There must be an atonement. Atonement means a balancing of the books. Books have been balanced. Whereas was by one man sin entered the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Wow. There's no law. Heard that little comic, comic strip. There ought to be a law against it. Well, friends, if there isn't a law, there's no sin. Oh, I go on and on. This is Tim Tuba. This is another really, really good teaching that we could get into about death, cross, burial, resurrection. That's not what I want to talk about today. I don't know how I got on. I want to talk about that. Lifting up Gary, Mark Mattingly. Keep praying for Mark. I haven't spoken to him in a couple of days. Some of you guys can give him a call, encourage him, cheer him up. Whether I'd want to admit it or not, and I don't always want to admit it, we certainly are a fellowship here, aren't we? Aren't we a fellowship here? And are you or are you not encouraged by others that are in here? And those of you who are watching maybe on the Patriot Party News or where other places are streaming, if you want to be part of the queue and you want to say what's on your mind and you want to respond or you want to fight or you want to throw mud at me, all you got to do is go to CoachDaveLive.com. CoachDaveLive and click on Join the Queue. And then you are directly linked to the show. Then you would be in what we call in the queue. I do this with my hand over here because on my computer, they all line up there. I see who everybody wants to say something and all that. That's all right there. So if you're just watching on Facebook or wherever you might be watching and you want to call and give me the what fours, go to Coach Dave Live, join the queue, join it. Then you'll be able to do that. And we're free speech here. We really are free speech. However, there's accountability for your speech. So if you say something stupid, we'll probably tell you nicely that, hey, that's stupid. That's stupid. All right? Cool. All right. So, Gary, hey, the annual, write it down. We got more details coming. June 13, 14, 15. June 13, 14, 15. We're going to gather at Sky High. I almost had to mow yesterday. Sun's out. It's amazing. June 13, 14, 15. We'll get the details set out later on, but go ahead right now, write in your calendar book. Don't let there be a reason to keep you from coming. You'll get to look these guys eyeball to eye. Vinny, I'm going to get you out here again. We'll get you out here again, Vinny. We're going to look eyeball to eyeball and see these people. And it's good. It's family reunion. Cool. All right. Anybody good to the group before I get rolling here? Because I'm going to talk to you today. We're going to discuss today money. No, I'm not going to ask for any. Not money. Money. One of the things that nobody likes to talk about is money, yet that's one of the number one things on everybody's mind. And I'm not going to talk to you today about giving. That's all we're going to talk about, money. What is money? What is money? What is this thing? What is money as compared to what it was supposed to be? Okay, so I'm going to dive in that. Unless anybody for the good of the group, anything I've forgotten, anybody needs prayer, anything like that? What's cool, a lot of you guys are keeping track of one another. Appreciate that. Wow. Okay. All right, here we go. What is money? Because, folks, I don't know if you've picked up on this yet. We're in the middle of a monetary transition. Okay? For years and years and years, we've used the dollar. Now you don't even have to use the dollar. Now you use this thing. In fact, a lot of the money that you spend, ask yourself this. When is the last time you went to the bank and cashed your monthly check, whether it be a Social Security check, whether it be work? When you went in there and said, here's my check, give me the moolah. I would say probably most of us, that never, ever happens. We simply put it into an account. And that dollar that you take in there, they say that they put into your account. Does it have any value at all? Does it really have any value? And so one of the things that's going on around all of us, and We don't really, Jacera, Nacera, Desera, Becera, Wachera, whatever. It's nothing more than a manipulation of currency and what type of value money is going to have. Now, there's an old adage. Listen to this. If you can't hold it, you don't own it. I got to say that again. You could have the biggest bank account in America, but if that bank closes its doors, you are left holding the bag. That's why they call it holding the bag, right? So we're in a situation right now where everything is changing. Bitcoin, paying by phone. What do they call those little codes? Hey, Spencer, you're smarter than me. What do they call one of those little codes that you got on the thing? Huh? A QR code. Thank you. He didn't give it to me. Came to me. A QR. What does QR mean? A QR code. And now I see college students age all the time going around and they're paying their bills and they go zap, zap, zap. They don't even know how to balance a checkbook. They don't even know what a checkbook is. So you get distracted with Bitcoin and Litecoin and his coin and my coin and their coin and silver and gold. And where do you put your money? Where do you put your money? Because why? At the end of the day, I have something called Iraq Denari. Iraq Denari. Oh, that's Father's Day, huh, Brett? Maybe I need to change it. Oh, Lord. Pull up Iraqi Dinar. Pull up Iraqi dinar, Spencer. Folks, I'm trying to show you something, okay? The average person does not understand. Iraqi dinar. The Iraqi dinar was the Iraq dollar before the war, before the Gulf War. The Iraqi dinar. And the Iraqi dinar basically now is worthless, although they say there's going to be a reevaluation of the Iraqi dinar. The Iraqi dinar right now is. Doesn't say there's a history of it, but the Iraqi dinar isn't even worth a penny today. It isn't even worth a penny. But one of the things that they want to try to do is they want to reevaluate the dinar, meaning put a value behind the dinar that gives it some value based on probably oil. Why? Because oil's valuable. The dinar ain't valuable because it ain't connected to anything. But if they say a dinar is worth a quart of oil, now we have a value for the dinar, right? So the Iraqi dinar, look at that. It's the one Iraqi dollar bill. You say, Coach, what's going on? This is important for you to understand. One Iraqi dollar bill, not American dollar, one Iraqi dollar bill is worth 0.0007. Six of a dollar. I mean, that ain't even a penny. A penny would be 0.01. An Iraqi dollar is 0.01076 of a dollar. In other words, the Iraqi dinar is useless. But now that the Iraqi dinar is, the Iraqi war is over, the war in the Middle East that we started is over, now they're going to have to reevaluate the Iraqi dinar because they got a lot of money, yada, yada, yada. And so, it is what it is. In the meantime, they take, I'm sorry if this is boring you, this is so important. And in the meantime, they take the American dollar and make it worth nothing. That's what inflation is. That's what inflation is, folks. Inflation isn't the value of the dollar going up. It's actually the devaluing of the dollar. The dollar is worth less. Why did gas go to $3.38? Because gas is expensive? No, gas is only expensive because the value of the dollar went down. Takes more to buy the same thing. That's called inflation. But they don't pin it on the fact that the money's not good. Hey, look, I'm sorry if this is boring you. This is so critical that we begin to understand this. Because there's a real shift going on financially, and I'm not a financial expert. I'm just going to share with you what I know, all right? The dollar's no good. You guys remember the old saying, phony is a continental? It's what happened to the dollar during the Civil War. Continental dollar became worthless. So when they got everything back together and everything situated, they came up with an American dollar, a dollar. And the Constitution told us what a dollar was worth. Am I right on that, Jack? Am I right? That in the Constitution, by the way, okay, let me show you. Folks, it's going to blow your mind. Huh? Going to blow your mind. You ready? Pull up number two. Pull up number two. Folks, they used to call these. Okay, everybody get a dollar out of their pocket if you want to. Get a dollar out of your pocket. I got a real one. This one is a. Say, Coach, I want to hear more about the Lord. Hang on, we'll get there. This one is, when was this one printed? It's got Jared, whose name's even on there? I don't even know who's on there. This one is Washington, D.C. Steve Mnuchin. Oh, boy. Series 2007 dollar I got here, 2007. By the way, this 2007 dollar, it's probably worth about a quarter of what it was worth in 2007, called inflation. But hang on, I'm going to show you the fast one they did. And most of you said, Coach, I never knew it. You never knew it. Okay, here's what they called a silver certificate. A silver certificate. Do you know why they called them silver certificates? You got your dollar out? Everybody got a dollar out looking at it? You got your dollar out? Look what it says. I'm reading my dollar bill right here. It says, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. Cool. Legal tender. I can spend this anywhere I want to with whoever I want to because the federal government says this piece of paper printed by them is legal tender. So what's this thing worth? Well, it depends, but it's worth a dollar. What's a dollar? Well, it's a dollar. It's a dollar. Ah! Well, what's a silver certificate? Oh. Can you look, Spencer? Whoa. Go back up there, folks. Big, go on up. Huh? Look what it says at the bottom. No, Spencer. Go back up there. Go back up there. Not on your dollar. Can you make it any bigger? $1, it says. Hang on. Look what it says right under Washington's face. $1. It says, in silver payable to the bearer on demand. In other words, that dollar was equal to a dollar's worth of silver.
Boom.
That's why they call it a silver certificate. Meaning I could go into the bank and say, hey, here's that dollar. Give me silver. And they had to do it. They had to do it, folks. 1957. This isn't back in 1912. I mean, although it was. And then they took us off the gold standard and look at your dollar. Does it say redeemable? And does it say anybody got a dollar out where it says it's redeemable for anything? No, not redeemable for anything. It's just $1. Well, what's a dollar worth? Nothing. It's worth whatever they tell you it's worth. That's why it's important for you to understand this. Again, I'm not trying to hawk anything. If you have some money, put your money into tangible assets. See, tangible, what does that mean, Coach? Something you can hold. I'll show you something right here. I'm sorry if this has bored some of you. This is so important. Here's a dime. I need better glasses. But I can tell you what. Oh, here's another pair. Sometimes I double up my glasses because this is so small. Anybody, you guys got any coins? You mess with any coins out there? This thing is 19. No, no. It's 2014 dime. Printed in 2014. What was a dime supposed to be? Do you know? What was a dime? Come on, anybody out there smart? Anybody out there smart to tell me what a dime was?
1/10 of an ounce of silver.
1/10 of an ounce of silver. Except now it's not silver anymore. They used to be silver. Now it's got copper covered with something that looks like silver. What's this dime worth? Nothing. Now I have right here, they call this junk silver. Let me open my bag. Folks, oh my. Junk silver. A bunch of old dimes. I'm going to give you a lesson here. Hang on. Come on out of there. Come on out of there. There we go. This is a pre-1964 dime. Let me put my double glasses on here again. This one is 1962. This doesn't have any what they call numismatic. Numismatic meaning rare value. This thing isn't valuable because it's rare. Come on, class. Let me see now. Why is this junk silver valuable? Can somebody tell me why is this?
It's got over 90% silver in it. It's probably worth over $2.
It's silver. It is silver. This phony dime ain't nothing. It isn't anything. This one is silver. By the way, you said how much? How much is it? Well,
probably over $2. Probably $2.15.
It's about $3.15 for this dollar, for this dime. The silver dime. Why? Because it's silver. You get it? And somewhere along the line, they tricked us and they quit giving us silver. They gave us copper. See that copper? With something on the top, on the back. What's this thing worth? Hey, Goslin, what's this thing worth? Whatever they tell you it's worth. Whatever the Federal Reserve tells you it's worth, that's what it's worth. Huh? People say, oh, man, am I ever smart. I bought some property, and my property value has gone through the roof. Smartest thing I ever said. You dummy. You dummy. It takes the same amount of dollars to buy your house as it did back then. They just changed the value of the dollar. So you bought your house. You bought your house in 2000, and you got it for $80,000, and now it's worth $240,000, and you're pounding on your chest and saying, whoa, the value of my house went up. Somebody help me here. Did the value of your house go up, or did the value of the coin go down? So it takes more coin. Are you tracking with me? It takes more coin to buy what you could have bought much cheaper in 2000. That's called inflation, right? Because why? Money's no good. It's paper. This, what's it say here? This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. So, what we see going on right now, how do I do this? Okay, go to 9. Here's what happened to us, folks. Here's what happened. Bible, remember the Bible applies in every way, shape, or form. Bible says evil men crept in unaware and changed the truth of God into a lie. It affects everywhere, friends. Everywhere. Evil men have crept in unaware. And they've made money, not money. It's fake. It's not worth anything. Why is silver valuable? It's valuable because it can be melted down and used for something. How about this one? Can anybody say solar panels? So there's a scarcity of silver, and because of that, the value goes up. I say, Coach, are you confused? No. But I want to show you how we got here, okay? You guys heard of the Rothschilds? You heard of them before? Pull that up there, Spencer, number 5. The Rothschild. Who were the Rothschilds? I'm just reading from Wikipedia here. As far as I know, this isn't some government entity. I don't think anything could be, right? But look what right here on Wikipedia. Sorry, this is gonna hurt some of your feelings. What's the seal say? Over here on the right? Rothschilds. Jewish noble banking family. And this is the coat of arms granted to Baron Rothschild in 1822 by Emperor Francis of Austria. Huh? The Rothschilds family is a wealthy Ashkenazi Jewish noble banking family originated from Frankfurt. The family's documented history starts in 16th century Frankfurt, and its name is derived from the family house Rothschild, built by Isaac Elchanan Bakaraka, whatever, in Frankfurt in 1567. Family rose to prominence with Mayor Amschel Rothschild, that's where he lived, and then on and on to the Rothschild. Here's where I'm going. During this 19th century, the Rothschild family possessed the largest private fortune in the world, as well as in modern history. The family's wealth declined over the 20th century and was divided among many descendants. So today, their assets cover a diverse range of sectors, including financial services, real estate, mining, energy, blah, blah, blah. The family additionally has philanthropic endeavors and nonprofits. Many examples of the family's ruling architecture exist all across Europe, and the Rothschild family has frequently been the subject of conspiracy theories and anti-Semitic origins. Okay, so the Rothschilds were a real people, a real family, and we are going to find out through the evolution, Jack will be just as good as me, that the Rothschilds are behind the destruction of the money. They're the ones that are behind it. And it happened, I'm sorry if this isn't spiritual enough for you today, it happened at Jekyll Island. Pull up, well, let's do two things here. Let's do two things. Pull up number four.
Coach, I didn't hear you said, that you said they're responsible for the destruction of what?
Our economic system. The transfer of the value of our money was gold and silver. Gold and silver. They gave us this fake stuff through the Federal Reserve. Now, look, I just Google search stuff. You don't get mad at me. This is a little video I found. The House of Rothschilds. This was 1934. As far as I know, ain't none of us around in 1934. But look what this thing's telling us about the Rothschilds in 1934. Go ahead.
Strive for money. Money is power. Money is the only weapon that the Jew has to defend himself with. Oh, never.
Come, I must speak with you. All of you.
Come closer. Much money is lost through sending gold by coach from one country to another. In times of war, it is seized by the enemy. In times of peace, by thieves. You are five brothers. I want you each to start a banking business in a different country. One to go and open a house in Paris, one in Vienna, one in London. Choose the most important centers. In your day, there will be many wars in Europe. And nations that have money to transport will come to the Rothschilds because it will be safe. You must stand by one another. No one brother must be allowed to fail while another brother succeeds. Your five banking houses may cover Europe, but you will be one firm, one family. The Rothschilds
will
work always together.
Work and strive for money.
Hey, more propaganda if you want to. 1934, they're telling us what's going on. Hang on a minute. Pull up for me number six. Have you ever heard of the creature from Jekyll Island? Huh? Oh, folks, this is where it went south. Got control of our money. This is a short little 4 minute, 44 second. This is what happened to our money, the creature from Jekyll Island, the Federal Reserve, an independent private organization that controls all of our money, which is why they had to take off the redeemable and gold and silver off of the dollar, because there isn't anything backing the American dollar. Oh, wait a minute. They say there's gold in Fort Knox. We're hoping there is, right? We're hoping there's gold in Fort Knox. But at the creature of Jekyll Island, Griffin, G. Edward Griffin, has written a powerful book on this, on what happened to our money. This is 4 minutes and 44 seconds worth your time. Go ahead.
Meetings can have lasting meaning, and a meeting on Jekyll Island, Georgia, 100 years ago this month, was an important moment in the evolution of U.S. central banking. That meeting is also the reason for the gathering here today. An important outcome of the 1910 meeting was a proposal for an institution with multiple branches, which became in part the model for the decentralized structure of the Federal Reserve System. A series of financial panics, culminating in the Panic of 1907, prompted Congress to undertake a series of steps toward reforming the nation's monetary system to promote macroeconomic stabilization. Congress passed the Aldrich-Vreeland Act in 1908, establishing an 18-member National Monetary Commission chaired by Rhode Island Senator Nelson Aldrich. The commission was charged with finding a way to reform the nation's monetary system, but progress was slow, and by 1910, the commission could not agree on a plan. Aldrich took matters into his own hands, meeting with a group of bankers on Jekyll to formulate a plan. The group included bankers Paul Warburg, Henry Davidson, and Frank Vanderlip. Also present were Aldrich's secretary, Arthur Shelton, and A. Piet Andrew, a treasury official. Warburg's attendance was critical because of his knowledge of European banking practices. Aldrich was well aware that his meeting with bankers outside of the commission proceedings would generate controversy, which is why the group met at the remote Jekyll Island location. What emerged from the Jekyll meeting was the so-called Aldrich Plan, presented to the National Monetary Commission as a legislative blueprint. It became a catalyst for debate about the role of the government and banking in the central bank's governance. Representing a departure from the centralized governments of European central banks, the plan proposed that a National Reserve Association would function as the U.S. central bank. The association would consist of a federation of 15 regional bank associations, each to be presided over by boards of directors elected by the local banks. Aldrich's proposed central bank would promote economic stability by providing for greater financial stability. Though the bill Aldrich put forward to the U.S. Senate in January 1912 was not acted on, many of the proposals that came out of the Jekyll meeting remained at the core of the subsequent steps in the creation of the Federal Reserve. After the election of Woodrow Wilson in 1912, Congressman Carter Glass of Virginia, who had led an investigation into the concentration of power on Wall Street, assumed leadership of monetary reform along with Senator Robert L. Owen. The Glass-Owen bill kept the key macroeconomic stabilization mechanisms of the Aldrich Plan, but provided for 8 to 12 districts with a reserve bank in each district. The difference that stood out the most was the governance of the central bank. The debate about a U.S. central bank had been mired in counter-arguments about who would control the system, bankers or appointed government officials. One compromise to resolve this disagreement involved reserve bank governance. Of the 9-member Reserve Bank Board of Directors, only 3 could be bankers. The others were to be engaged in commerce, industry, or agriculture. Another was that the Federal Reserve Board in Washington, D.C. would be the oversight and coordinating agency. The reconciled bill was passed as the Federal Reserve Act and signed into law by President Wilson in 1913. The 12 reserve banks opened about a year later. At the time, the board was made up of 2 ex officio members, the Secretary of the Treasury and the Comptroller of the Currency, and 5 other members appointed by the President and confirmed by the Senate. This centenary conference will examine how well the Federal Reserve's historical performance has matched the vision of its conceptual founders, both at Jekyll and in Congress, and what the Fed's near 100-year track record offers for its role going forward.
All right, so folks. So they created the Federal Reserve, and they called it the Federal Reserve because it's a lie. It's not federal. The Federal Reserve is a privately owned banking industry outside the control of government. You understand that? And they have a Fed director, and he's the one that controls inflation and interest rates. By the way, you know what Jesus said about interest, right? Interest on money. Oh, I hate to tell you this. He went in and he flipped over the tables, called it usury. Jesus went in there and flipped over the tables in the temple because why? Because he was against usury. Jack says, Coach, read the original disclaimer. I can't dig that out. Jack, do you have it right there, the original disclaimer? Folks, listen to me. Yes. The Federal Reserve and the control of inflation and money and all that stuff is not controlled by the American government. It's an outside entity called the Federal Reserve, which has never been audited. Talking about audited by what Elon's doing and all that stuff, we have no idea. We don't even know if we have any gold. We don't know if we have any silver. All we know is they just print money. Now they don't even print money. They print digits, and they give you a QR code, and boy, I could go on. Let me throw one more thing up there, okay? One more thing.
Which I can quote it from memory. It's pretty simple.
Huh? It's pretty simple.
Every note that you just held up says this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. And it used to say until 1965, and is redeemable in lawful money. It didn't say gold or silver unless it was a treasury bill, not a Federal Reserve note. And they just erased that because they knew that in 1971 they were going to close the gold window, which negated Article 1, Section 10. We got to go through the whole stuff.
All right. Well, I'm giving the first grade version of it here just to wake some of them up. Okay. So look, go to number 8 real quick, and I'm going to open it up. Johnny, I'll get you in here. Folks, look. This is why tangible assets are so important. Tangible assets, land, gold, silver, oil, stuff that you can actually hold. If you're marketing in gold and silver and you don't have it, like right now you said, well, coach, I got $10,000 in the bank. Well, good, then you don't have it. The bank has it. You don't have it. It's the argument I do with Bitcoin. Say, well, coach, I got $100,000 worth of Bitcoin. Say, no, you don't. It's on the computer somewhere. You don't have it. If you don't hold it, you don't own it. Okay, what did I say to pull up there? Which one did I tell you? There it is, folks. Constitution, Article 1, Section 8. The Congress shall have the power to print money? Is that what it says? Congress shall have the power to coin money. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. The Federal Reserve shall have the power. Alan Greenspan shall have the power to coin money, regulate the value thereof, and of foreign coins, and fix the standard of weights and measure. Who does that? Congress. No, they don't. The Federal Reserve does. The Federal Reserve meets and they come out and say, sorry, Paul, interest rates are going up. Says who? Our board. We're going to raise interest rates for everybody, and we're going to rent you we're going to sell you a house. And we're sorry, if you'd have bought that house last year, it had only been 3% interest. But now, sorry, the economy is tough. It's now 8% interest. So you're going to pay usury. You get what's going on, folks? And send out wicked our system is. Okay, I'm going to grab a deep breath because I threw a lot at you. But that's why I'm trying to tell you. I don't care what you do. Whatever you better hold it. How about this? What if this was a gift certificate to Kroger's? You guys have Kroger's out where you live? To the grocery store of your choice. Redeemable on $100 of bananas. Well, that's good. But what if there ain't no bananas? And that's where we are with money. In fact, they're trying so hard to get away from this that everything is going digital. Digital. Meaning what? Zap, 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 so that this stuff isn't even needed anymore. So I'd encourage all of you, if you look in your bank account, say, coach, I got $30,000 in the bank. Good. What if the bank goes belly up? Oh, that'll never happen. Oh, really? Oh, no, coach, it's protected by, what's the name of that thing, protects your money? The FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. They got you covered. So in other words, if all the money crashes, the FDIC is going to make you healthy. Come on, you're smarter than that, aren't you? So it's all the ultimate Ponzi scheme everywhere we look, right? Just go get your mortgage and look at your mortgage and see how much you paid this month in interest. Get a credit card. Go get a credit card. It says right on your credit card statement, the interest, what is it, 18%? 20%. And by the way, you pay the interest first. Anybody know what's going on here? You get what's going on? Folks, we as Christian believers, we got to get ahead of this thing. We got to get ahead of it. We got to understand what's going on. And we have to invest in things that are tangible. You say, well, Coach Dave, what happens if I buy property and then real estate crashes? At least you have property. What happens if real estate crashes and all you got is money in the bank? Invest in tangible things. I come from a humble background. I'm not a rich man, but I'm smart enough to figure that out. Would you rather have a hamburger or a certificate for one? At some point, it has to be redeemed. Come on in, Johnny.
Hey, thanks, Coach. Yeah, think about it. The Federal Reserve is no more federal than Federal Express, right?
That's
You've
exactly
all heard
right.
that.
That's right.
And think about before they enacted that in 1913, there was freedom in the land. This is all about control, which you guys already know. But they ramped it up in 1913 to take control, to make slaves out of us. And they're continuing to put the pressure on by going digital. This is revelation. This is biblical. And it talks about it. There will become a day where you will not have any, you either go one way or the other, says the Lord.
Can buy or sell without that mark. Now, is it the mark?
That's right. And if you can't see that, if you can't see where that's going, it's all going to one little group where they're controlling the whole thing. You and I are slaves, even if we do use the gold and silver.
Can somebody
all they have to do is just say, nope, you can't use it.
Can't use it no more. I'm not going
to
use
that. So it really isn't going to matter. But we do have to try, and you're right about that, Coach. We have to try to get our liberty back, our freedom, our born rights given to us by God.
Johnny,
it's an uphill battle.
My wife and I got our real estate. I don't know if this happens to you guys. We got our real estate tax bill in the mail. We don't pay our taxes every month. We pay them every 6 months. Every 6 months we pay them. And that payment is based on the value of my property. Hang on here. Do you think the government wants the value of the property to go up or down? Well, my house used to be worth $50,000 and I paid $500 a year in taxes. Now it's worth $50,000 and I pay $5,000 a year on real estate. Why? Because this thing is phony. It's phony. You with me? Now say, Coach, what's the solution? I don't know if I have a solution other than to make you aware that they have programmed you. This doesn't even sound like it's copper. Copper. Hang on. Got a bunch of dimes. They're real dimes. Has an entirely different sound to it. Why? This is silver. Silver, 90% silver. I can melt this thing down. Make me one of those, I don't know, what do they call those things? Heat up my house with it. Come on in, Teresa.
Before property taxes, people could survive even in a depression because they could live off their land. Yep. But now they can come in and steal your house from you no matter how long it's been paid off. So there is a group in Ohio that's fighting to eliminate property taxes. Some of them are going completely for the total elimination, and others are trying to get there gradually by increasing homesteading and things like that. So at least Ohioans, be aware that these people are going to be out there collecting signatures, hopefully within the year. We're trying to eliminate property taxes.
Amen. Folks, why should you have to pay tax on property that you already – come on. See, it's what they – well, Coach, we need it to run the schools. By the way, did you see this? President Trump's doing away with the Department of Education. Do you guys know – Spencer, how good are you? What's the budget of the Department of Education? What is the budget of the Department of Education? See if we can find that real quick.
It's federal, $80 billion.
Federal, United States, federal Department of Education budget. Here it is, $268 billion. Folks, look, look, are you looking at me? That doesn't educate one child. That doesn't educate one child. That pays bureaucrats to file reports, enter data, who knows what it is. $268 billion. Hang on! And then they charge you property taxes to fund your own schools. Yes or no? Yes or no? This is what's going on, see?
Amen.
And the church doesn't even get, see, the church doesn't complain. Can somebody tell me why the church doesn't complain? Oh, come on, tell me that you get it. Why doesn't the church complain?
Because they're paying for it.
Tax exempt.
They're tax exempt. They don't have to pay it. So why do they care? Huh? Why does the church care if they have a new tax levy to build the school, get the new school? Well, they don't care because church doesn't have to pay it. Well, what about the people sitting in the church, sitting in the church? Oh, they got to pay it. Oh, yeah, they got to pay it. But the church doesn't. You understand it? You see what's going on? So unless we somehow are able to get control of this financial behemoth, this non-governmental organization called the Federal Reserve, until we get control of that, we will never be free. Never be free. Never. Never. Listen, if there's a separation between the church and the state, their words, not mine, separation between the church and the state, can somebody explain to me why Pass Assault Ministries has to report to the government every dollar we spend? Can somebody explain that to me?
Because you don't work for the devil.
I don't work for the devil. If there's a separation between the church and the state, how is it any business of the government what Pass Assault Ministries does with the money? What is it any of their business? What is it? They've just twisted us around their finger. Come on in, Glenn. Am I doing okay today? Is this worth talking about? I know it's not real spiritual, not religious, but I'm going to tell you something. You guys out there right now worry about money more than anything in your life. Come on in, Glenn.
Yeah, so, you know, real wealth was prior to 1913. If you ever make a trip to Newport, Rhode Island, that's where all the mansions from the you know, the steel barons, the railroad barons are located. There's huge mansions in Newport, Rhode Island. That's when all the real wealth was accumulated. Now, what we have going on now is we have a lot of gold that's suddenly coming back into the United States. They're being shipped. So there's speculation that has our gold been hypothecated? In other words, has our gold been pledged? And now that they're thinking about doing an audit, it's coming back in. Makes you wonder.
Makes you wonder. Glenn, so do you think there's gold in Fort Knox?
Well, I think there is. I think a lot of it's coming back in. Now, I don't know.
Hey, Glenn, so let me ask you a question because you're a pretty smart guy. Glenn, is the value of gold going up or is the value of the dollar going down?
Well, it's the value of the dollar going down.
The value of the dollar is going down. Hey, Spencer, real quick, go to Kitco, K-I-T-C-O, Kitco. Hey, folks, look, I ain't asking for your money. This isn't about you giving money to me. Relax. Go to kitco.com. There it is. Okay, what's the price of gold today, Spence? $2,914. 1 ounce of gold is worth how can that possibly be? How can that possibly be? What's the price of silver? What's the price of silver today? By the way, a silver certificate, you used to be able to take a silver certificate and go into the bank and say, listen, I want to give you this paper dollar. Please give me a dollar's worth of silver. And they would give it to you. It's called a silver certificate. And so this, can anybody read the chart for me? What's this thing supposed to be worth? $33.11 is what this is supposed to be worth. Can you go in there and get $33.11 worth of silver? No. And what are the odds of silver going up or going down? Doesn't matter. Because no matter what happens with silver, it affects these things. Get it? Inflation is not the price of goods and services going up, folks. It's the cost of the goods and services, meaning needing more dollars to buy it. The dollar ain't going up. Dr. Paul.
You said this isn't biblical. I guess the second most common topic in the Bible, Coach, money, dealing with money, that kind of stuff, greed. That what, 2,300 verses? That's a lot. So it is. It's definitely the root of all evil.
Okay. Can I just tell you the truth? Am I allowed to tell you the truth here? Am I going to get in trouble?
The truth will set you free.
Okay. You can get as mad as you want to. I don't care. I'm Googling right now. See, hey, Spencer. Oops, I spelled that wrong. Oh, boy. Google money changers. Mine says here, what does the Bible mean by money changers? And why did Jesus whip the money changers? Scroll down, Spence. Hang on right there. Hang on. Who are the money changers in the Bible? The Bible records 2 instances of Jesus cleansing the temple of money changers. And those selling sacrificial animals. Jesus' first encounter with the money changers was at the beginning of his ministry. He made a whip of cords, drove them out. Second time, he confronted the money changers. Who are the money changers? Who are the money changers? Hey, who are the money changers? He drove them out saying, it's written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of thieves. Evidently, there was something going on inside that church that was corrupt in regards to money that Jesus specifically called out. You money changers. Because Jewish law required, sorry, I'm just reading what it says. Because Jewish law required a temple tax of 0.5 shekel, Jews and visitors from other nations came to pay their taxes when they offered sacrifices. But foreign coins were the likeness of pagan emperors, would not be accepted in God's temple. So money changers exchanged their foreign coins for Jewish money. But they did so at an exorbitant profit. Can anybody say Federal Reserve? Boom. Federal Reserve. Hey, Ethel. Federal Reserve money changers. Yes or no? Rather than provide this service as a business in another part of town, they did it in the church. Because they
were
determined
they changing,
their own
Coach?
Exchange rate.
What were they changing?
What were they exchanging, right? Because
well, it's
they
important.
Determined their own exchange rate, money changers easily took advantage of the poor and foreigners pouring into Jerusalem for Passover. By the way, I was looking at my credit card the other day. Credit card came. If I pay it in 30 days, no interest. You guys with me on that? Pay in 30 days, no interest. By the way, they get 3% on both ends of it. So when I charge something, Kroger's, the Federal Reserve gets, or whoever, the banking system, gets 3% of it from Kroger's for using the system. And they take 3% from me for using the system. So every time you use a credit card, 6% goes to the bankers. 6%, no matter what, whether you pay interest or not. But if I don't pay my credit card on time, read down the fine print. What's your interest rate? 25% interest rate. Folks, them be money changers. That's what the Lord spoke against it. He took out, he went over, sat on the edge of the building and made himself a whip. You don't think money matters? Money controls all of us. And what do we find out's going on with Doge? They cut off the spigot, and what's happening to those businesses and ministries being supported by the money changers. What happened to them? They're closing up shop. Boy, is the Department of Education maybe being closed down today. Boy, are they squealing. Why? Because they're important. They determine who gets the money. Ain't nothing about education. Sorry. Yeah, I ain't worried about that. Plenty of money. If the federal government wants to give money, then just send us a chunk. We don't need to pay those 2,500 workers or whatever. I think it's 2,500 workers in the Department of Education, which wasn't even around until Jimmy Carter introduced it in 1980, I think. Jack, come on in. Man, this is good, isn't it? Do you have to be smart? Go ahead.
This is such good stuff. We gotta use the right words. The federal government and the money changers, they were changing from Caesar's money to temple money. Just like we have today, we have a two-tiered money system, and we don't even know it.
Jack, they're trying to change it anyway, right? They're even trying to change it to digital now, to Bitcoin. They're trying to come up with other means, right?
But they had to destroy our constitutional currency before they could do digital.
Yep.
And it was a process. That thing you started, what did they do before the whole banking thing? They eliminated the militia by making the National Guard the national militia, so that because they knew they were going to do something that we would kill them for.
We gotta wake up to what's going on, right? Huh? Okay, hang on. Hey, Spencer, pull up Matthew 17. Oh, better sit you down. Hey, you can sit. By the way, you can send this to your pastor. You want to send this to your pastor? Hey, Spencer, go down to number 24. Send this to your pastor. Stop there. And when they came to Capernaum, they that received money came to Pete and said, hey, Pete. Hey, old JC, he paid taxes. Jesus, he paid taxes. And Pete says, well, he sure does. He's a good Christian. And when he went into the house, Jesus said, hey, come here, Pete. Come here. What the hell are you talking about, dude? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Their own children or strangers? Peter said unto him, of strangers. And Jesus said, that's right, dude. The children of the king are free. Hey, friends, next time your pastor tells you that Jesus paid taxes, show them this. Hang on, scroll down a little bit more. Scroll down a little bit more. Notwithstanding, Jesus said, lest we should offend them, and then they arrest me and throw me in jail over money. I don't want that to happen, all right? Huh? Lest they offend. I ain't going to look. I'm not going to break one of their stinking laws so they can lock me up in J6. I ain't going to do that, okay? Give them some money. Give them some money that'll keep them away. Is that what it says? Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. Go to the sea, get a hook, catch a fish, and come, sell it. Money in there, and you take it and give it to them. Because I don't want them crucifying me because they said I didn't pay my tax. By the way, where did he get the money? Right out of the mouth of a stinking fish. God, this is so good, isn't it? It's so good. It's so good. So, Jack, what do we do? What do we do? Because, see, now they're going to try to change the system necessarily. They're going to try to change it, but you can bet this. See, President Trump wants to audit the Fed. Same thing that got Kennedy killed, by the way. These folks are serious about their money. Money makes the world go round. The love of money is the root of all evil. And you and I are put in shackles by an ungodly government entity that takes money right out of your pocket without any God-given authority to be able to do it. So they're going to change it. Zap, zap, zap. They give you a paycheck and the money's already taken out. You know, they tell you you make $30,000 a year, but you only bring home $20,000. They don't want you to see how much you're stealing from you. See you tomorrow.